Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mini PC Show. This is Big Talk, Little Machines. Today, we're going to just have two of us. Brian is on call. Door-to-door geek, how are you tonight, sir?
Well, he might be on call, but I called him and he didn't show up. So apparently he's not on call for me. And that's just me being sarcastic. He had work pop up. And as one of the things I keep saying is, Podnuts is normal people talking to normal people. Well, sometimes normal things come up and we have to attend to it, like work.
That's true. Yeah, work pays the bills. So we got to do that first. Family first, actually. Then that second. Work second.
Yeah, and then hobbies. And then relatives, and then maybe podcasting.
Then it, changing, you know, the air in your spare tires, then yeah. Podcasting.
Right, and then local volunteer work.
Yeah.
And then maybe episodes of MacGyver.
Oh, a binge watching of MacGyver?
Yeah, binge watching MacGyver.
Yeah. Maybe a new episode of Better Call Saul, then podcasting.
So. I don't know. Eric, I never even watched Breaking Bad, so...
I don't think you need to watch Breaking Bad to watch Better Call Saul.
Okay, then let me rephrase that. I never even wanted to watch Breaking Bad.
I never wanted to either. I never wanted to watch any TV, but somehow I did, and I really liked that show, and I really liked Better Call Saul so much. Netflix has the first season for free on, you know, well, if you have Netflix, it's on there. And then AMC had the other three episodes, or other two episodes for free. And I've been building up some Amazon credit, so I ended up buying the whole season two the other night for Easter. So my wife and I watched that on Easter Sunday.
And it's a perfect thing with Easter, right?
Oh yeah, lawyers and Easter. That is perfect.
Yeah, first off, who doesn't have Netflix anymore? I mean, it's literally becoming one of those Hallmark things. Like, by the time the mid '90s came around, you just assumed everyone had cable television, or I guess like '92 maybe.
Right, and cable television costs about the same as what Netflix does now. I think if you had to compare $10 for HBO or $7.99 for Netflix, I think if you haven't had Netflix for a long time, it's not $7.99. I think you might get charged more, but.
Yeah,
I definitely see the value of a $7.99 Netflix over a $10 a month HBO. Even though you do get the HBO Go, and if you're a Game of Thrones fan, which my cable operator that I got to talk to really thought I should be, then it may be worth it. But I've never watched that show once.
Yeah, I'm sure the amount of content you get through cable is greater, but I'm also sure the quality of content you get through Netflix is greater.
And I think the amount of commercials you get through Netflix is much better.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me think about that. Yes.
To the point that anytime I watch regular television, it's almost like our YouTube Red snob-ishness we have now. If I see a commercial, it just somehow makes me angry. And I don't know, man. Why do I feel like such an elite that I shouldn't have to watch commercials? I don't know. I don't know where this came from, but.
I don't know, but every time I'm at work and I see someone pull up a YouTube video and the ad pops up, I literally turn into that stereotypical Northeastern blue blooder. Al Clint, look at him, he's watching advertisements. And I literally make fun of him.
Yeah, and you probably sound like a jerk. I catch myself doing that too. Well, so here's the deal. My daughter had a spring fling concert. You know, that's where the girl asked the guy to the dance, right?
Oh, okay.
Their DJ was having technological differences, and he couldn't get his DJ setup running. So he just decided, well, I'll just start playing YouTube videos, off, and aux jack it into the PA system or whatever, you know?
Yep.
With commercials and all. Like, if you're going to be a DJ and that's going to be your fallback, at least do the YouTube Red so you don't have to play the commercials. That's little, you know, that's bad. I hope they didn't pay for that as a school.
Honestly, I'm starting to become a firm believer, Eric. Most people, period, don't even know about YouTube Red. They don't even know there's a way to legally, quote-unquote, skip all the advertisements.
And to be honest, I have not paid much for it in the entire time I've had it for a while now, and I've never paid anywhere near retail shelf price for it. I think I paid a total of about $8 for about 6 months worth of YouTube Red so far, just on the specials they've had here and there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've definitely rode this tangent pretty far, but yes, and I am very happy to say I don't see any time when I'm going to stop my subscription to the music/video paying the Google fee.
Oh, this is the mini PC show. Dora, I thought we were doing the YouTube show tonight. Okay, that explains it. Okay, this is not the multimedia show. This is the mini PC show. Okay.
Slightly different. It's the same, but different.
Yeah. You can do multimedia on a mini PC, I hear.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and YouTube Red seems to work just fine.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, if you can get logged in with anything, you should be able to do it, right?
Oh, yeah, just fine.
Okay, we do have a couple emails tonight. I say we just start out with the emails because they're short and sweet and just a couple of them. So I'm going to go right off the bat with one from Jesse Beach. And he says, "Hey, Dor, would you order the EMMC module with the Odroid or just run the software on an SD card? Is it worth the extra couple bucks?"
Well, see, this to me is very personal question, to be honest. I want to support Ameridroid. I want to support hard kernel to the nth degree. I almost bought the EMMC, but every video I saw looking at the benchmarking did not show even close to substantial difference. When they were running literally side by side, it was virtually identical every single thing they did. And the EMMC, even for a decent sized one, was like $50. So I say no. Run a quality SD card like a SanDisk Ultra, and I think you'll be just fine. I think there's no real quote unquote reason to get the full fledged EMMC unless you really do intend on taxing that thing really, really hard.
So the EMMC, it's kind of similar to an SSD hard drive with a little bit different plug-in interface, right?
Yeah. Most other EMMC chips on most other hardware devices, you have to solder it on. This is one of the few ones, aka I think it's the only one, where you don't solder it on. It literally just like clips onto the board.
When I think of, is it the same kind of EMMC plug-in interface that kind of reminds you of like when you take apart a laptop and the old modem that's in there that's got the black and the white wire coming off of it? And it usually is held down with one screw. It's got kind of some touch connectors. You kind of slide it in, and it goes in at an angle, and you put it down and hold it down with a screw. Is it kind of that?
I do believe it is very close, if not the exact same thing, to basically solid-state hard drive soldered onto a chip. So if you have something with built-in storage, the difference between that and this, I think, is very minimal.
So. If there was an advantage, it's not the advantage of price.
Oh.
And it's not the advantage of more storage than what you can currently get on an SD card? Is that...
Oh, no. You can get much more storage on a SD card. Mm.
Yeah, I don't see any advantage then at all. Those would be my two... that and speed. I mean, but if the speed's not there...
No, speed looks virtually identical. And I think it's partially because literally the SD... MicroSD card reader is just that good. Well, I don't think it's that, you know, the EMC is bad. I just think the other one's very good.
Here's an idea. Security. Say if you didn't want your files to be able to be popped out the side of your computer and taken somewhere and easily put into another computer, maybe the EMMC board would be the way to go because there'd be less chance that they have the right thing to plug that into to get to your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go for that.
There's always a silver lining out there somewhere. I gotta find it. No, I just couldn't. That didn't come across immediately.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely cool. I literally almost bought one just to support the company, but when I saw the videos and saw the lack of difference, I'm just sticking with the SD. I'm going to end up buying a second Odroid just because.
Cool. Okay, our next email is from Chris Setia. And he says, hey, you mentioned on the Last Mini PC show about an open source version of Amazon's voice device, the Alexa Pi. Here's a remote for your keychain to trigger it. Perhaps a cheapo remote phone camera shutter button, Bluetooth off eBay? And we were looking at this before the show. He suggests perhaps a cheapo Bluetooth one. This one's actually available from Adafruit, and it looks like it almost looks like the thing that would unlock your car on your keychain, about that size. Well, it's RF remote at 315 megahertz, and they are showing it lighting up an LED by pressing it in the little video or GIF that they have on the Adafruit website. And I was thinking it was Liam Tidwell, but I'm not sure. Somebody had mentioned that perhaps when you have the Alexa Pi set up in your house, since you have to trigger it to talk to it, maybe a lapel mic and maybe a Bluetooth button on that lapel mic could not only trigger it, but also pick up your voice and send it to the device sitting across the room. I was thinking that may be more ideal than pressing this button here and then yelling still across the room to talk to it. What do you think, Dor?
Yeah, and you also mentioned before the show, I think the key is if you can have the chest button, but also built into that little button have a little tiny microphone, that's the coup de grace. To have the button is great. Have the button not physically connected to the device, but like you said earlier, the limitation of Bluetooth is you have to be really close to it. Well, if the mic's physically on the thing, don't you want to physically be close to it anyway? So then that kind of made sense. The RF is, I think, an okay feature, but if you can get a remote button plus a little microphone, that there would be, that would be pretty friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be really close to the original Echo or Alexa, where you just talk, and then it picks it. It's always listening and listens for its name. And this way, I do kind of like the idea of the Amazon Tap, which this Alexa Pi tries to mimic, and this device itself, because it is not always listening. So it's not constantly, a ring of six microphones or whatever it has in the top of that thing, always listening to everything that's going on in your entire house all the time. It is a little more secure, I feel, by you having to trigger it somehow.
Yep, I absolutely agree. But I definitely like the idea of having a remote connector. The best thing about this one that Captain Zero brought us, it is only $7. That's a great price.
That is, yeah, that's nice. I'm currently working on that project, and I've been working on it for about 4 days because I'm a little slow with the programming of a Raspberry Pi. Dor helped me out quite a bit just before the show. Actually, every day I'll get hung up on something and go to bed, and then I'll usually wake up, let my brain process it overnight, come down here in the morning, whip through that problem I had, develop a new one, and then hit it again after work. So we're getting there. And my modification to it, if it's at all possible, we'll find out, is I don't want to tie my Pi up totally with this project, because I've got parts to it. I've got that touch screen that sits right on top of the Pi, so I'd like to turn that touch screen into like maybe one big button to activate the Pi. So that's kind of my goal once I actually get it up and running first. I didn't buy the official microphone or whatever, the USB 2 mic. I am experimenting with this little throwback to the throwback man. This is a DJ Hero USB mic, and we're going to try and see if that will work. I don't know. It's a bit larger than the mic that they sell for $2 on Amazon that will work with that. But you got to try to use what you got.
Well, yeah, and to me that's called proof of concept. Just using what you got to see if you can get it to work right. Then if you do, then you can work to stage two where you start to pretty it up and dial it up and getting it to look better. I still haven't bought any of the chip pieces because I want to do this with the chip. But I will say the one thing that you mentioned to me was you would like to get it to run on the Orange Pi. Now here's something that I did think about before the show and now here. More than likely, how I saw the directory structure and everything, once you get it to work, you should be able to basically pull that directory off of that Raspbian installation, and then on like a Diet Pi installation or something on the Orange Pi, copy that folder over, and technically you'll have most of your work done. You won't have to redo, I think, most of the stuff.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I was hoping I could get lucky and just pull the whole SD card out and throw it right in there, but Dor said that's probably not going to happen between those two devices.
There's a chance, but there's also a chance a meteor is going to hit my house here in the next 5 seconds.
One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. So I will be looking at Diet Pi working that way. But I got to say, I'm fairly a noob. I think a lot of this I've learned and forgot. I have not been in the computer business for about 3.5 years now daily. So I'm back to being a tinkerer and a tweaker, I guess. And some of it's like riding a bike. Some of it isn't coming back to me very, very quickly. But then again, I never really was working in Linux all the time or the terminal much. You know, I was fixing people's Windows computers almost all the time. So that's and iPhones and things like that. So it's probably not going to take the listeners as long as it's taking me to get this project done. I'm just saying if they've been experienced a little bit with it.
And that's the key. I was talking to Richard Hughes, the garage door guy behind the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer the first time you do anything new on one of these devices, it's going to take you between 4 and literally like 40 times longer than you think it's going to take. If you think it's a 10-minute thing, you can pretty much rest assured it's going to be a multiple-hour project. And if you think it's going to be an hour project, you rest assured it's probably going to be a 10-hour project. It's because the first time you do any of these things, there's things you got to learn, there's things you got to realize, there's things you got to... Even if you're well-versed with Linux, there's still plenty of stuff that can go wrong. I've sat here one time for 5 hours trying to image an SD card and not understanding why it wasn't working. I've done this before. I know I've done this before. It worked a lot. And I'm sitting here talking to myself as I'm doing it. And last time I did it, I know it worked. Maybe the card's going bad. Maybe the slot and the thing's dead. And I'm sitting there making all these excuses why. And then I finally stop and realize, well, I've never successfully burnt that image. Let me try another image. And you try another image and then it works fine. So then you realize either the image isn't done right or they're not telling you something about it. So then you just say, to hell with it and move on.
So yes, that kind of describes my first 4 hours with this project. I had my Raspberry Pi up and running just fine. I had Raspbian and Jesse on there. Everything was good. So I start this project and I'm following the Amazon. And they're pretty good. They're pretty good instruction set that they have out on GitHub. And the first thing they're telling me to do is install Noob. So I'm like, okay, so this must be just a different kind of Linux distribution for Raspberry Pi. Well, I try and it never works and it doesn't work, and my Pi's got a red light on it and a green light, and nothing's really doing anything. It's the same as if I pulled the SD card out, it's acting just exactly the same. So I format and I download some programs. I did some Windows programs to format and change the partition and everything and change the size. And anyway, long story short, Noobs didn't like that micro SD card, even though Jesse found it fine to run on. So I swapped out my micro SD card out of my Note 4. I threw Noobs on it and it worked fine. And the first thing it does is install Jesse Raspbian. I'm like, oh, if I'd have known that right. If I'd have known that I was doing this, if I would have scrolled down another 4 pages, I would have known that I could have skipped that whole step right there. So, lesson learned. That's fine. I mean, there's a lot of instructions to go through to read ahead the whole thing. But so while I was doing these installs of the operating system, I did scroll ahead some and downloaded some things that I needed to get done on the Amazon side with my account and things like that that you need to do to authenticate your country and your account for when you actually get it up and running, so that it'll know what it's talking about and who it's talking to. But yeah, so If you're having that frustration, you can't get nothing working, try a different micro SD. It could be this that simple.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing with these things. You just gotta trial and error doing it. And yes, reading ahead is good, but of course, hindsight is perfectly 20/20 as well.
Yeah, and I had expected this to be a one day project, and now I'm at five. So, if that gives you an idea.
Gotcha. Yeah, one thing I want to mention, and I got to get the notes for it. I want to say it was Pi Podcast. Pi Podcast. And I believe it's all one word, Pi Podcast. Yeah, thepiepodcast.com. The very last episode, episode 18, they actually have an interview with the guy from Diet Pie on the episode. And I will say this, we did talk about Diet Pie, but we did not realize some of the niceties that come with the Diet Pie, partially because I got it working and then I immediately shipped out my orange pie. My orange pie went to Richard Hughes. I sent mine to Richard Hughes. Okay. Eric, one of the things Eric was learning tonight was about tab completion in the Linux command line. It affirms and confirms what you're typing is right, but also it just makes it easier. Well, one of the things that you can do in most Pi type distributions is, for instance, in Raspbian, you type RAS and hit tab, and you'll get two options. RASB dash update and RASB dash config. One of them is to update the config. The other one is to run a sweeping configuration on your device of like time zone, expand file system. Do you want to overclock things like that? What I did not know was that in DietPy, there is the same type of infrastructure to quickly install and configure some applications. So thanks to this podcast, links will be in the note. I am going to go back and I am going to purposely try the Diet Pie again and see what kind of results I can get. I really hope I have a continued reason to keep running Diet Pie because what I heard about it, I really liked. It is a di as a distribution.
That shortcut is tabbing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So if you load up Diet Pie. Sorry, if you load up Diet Pie, I believe, and then just type DIE and then hit tab, you'll see the choices to run the Diet Pie built-in utilities.
Nice. Hey, the Pi podcast, I was listening to that quite a bit. They're from across the pond, UK people, I believe. So it's a good podcast.
Good people.
Yeah.
One of the guy I believe really. I mean, literally works for the foundation.
Nice. And I do like that they bring on guests too. That's something we used to do on the Android App Addict show. That's always fun.
Eric, between me and you, I despise interview-only podcasts because that to me says you as a host cannot muster up enough attention or enough energy to create any content from week to week, anything,
Okay.
even just a bunch of links like us, it's not hard.
Yeah, no, I agree with that part. I do like to hear some of the in the trenches, the other side of the screen stuff, you know, sometimes though.
Oh yeah, I agree. There's definitely a use to it and a purpose to it. What I don't like is everyone doing interview podcasts because you have some wacko guy with wacko 80s sounding catchphrases do an interview podcast and make $200,000+ a month. So then everybody believes, well, we got to do interview podcasting.
Yeah, and then like we always had, you know, it's hard to do interview podcasting because not everybody has decent equipment or decent internet connections to be a guest on your show. That's a tough part too. I did also notice while I'm on their page that they must have talked about the Western Digital Pi Drive, which I have ordered and I have not seen yet. I'm kind of surprised. I think it was 2 weeks ago I ordered that, so I was a little surprised I haven't arrived. That has not arrived, which is another reason why I'd like to move all of this Alexa stuff once I get it up and running and see how it works to the Orange Pi because that's one more thing for my Raspberry Pi that's kind of built for it.
That does make sense. I w can't argue that. Speaking about things that you got shipments for, Eric, I got a shipment as well. I got a
Oh, yeah.
Pi Top laptop. Literally, the next morning after we recorded the show and I complained.
Yeah, you were... wow, man. You've got some pull.
No, it wasn't even broadcast yet. I got an email saying your order's being shipped. Now, it shipped from Hong Kong. I had Hong Kong DHL tracking information. It hit my door in less than 5 working days.
Wow.
From Hong Kong. That is really good. And I tried to make a video of unboxing it and putting it together and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's still not completely together for a reason.
Yeah.
I got to a login screen and then I started typing and then I realized about a third of the keys on the keyboard don't work.
Oh, no.
Now, everything else about it, okay, it's $260. It's a dramatic price for what you get, okay? It is a dramatic price for what you get. But it's actually a decent quality, I will say that, of what you get. Even though you put it together, it's still of a decent quality. All the cables are customized, made for them with Pi Top on them. So everything is customized for this. The screen is really nice. Everyone says with the battery, you get up to 12 hours battery. Like, that's really nice.
How heavy? How heavy is it without your Pi in it?
It's no more heavy than a normal quote-unquote laptop. It's definitely heavier than an Ultrabook, I'll say that.
Okay.
And it's definitely thicker
than
an Ultrabook, too. That's because you have to have the Pi. And the Pi's width basically has to fit down here. So it's definitely a little bit wider than a notebook as well. But if you want to especially show a kid how to build a laptop, this is dang near perfect. If I can put it together, not break it, actually have it work when I'm done putting it together, let me tell you something. That's saying something. This is the guy who can never put stuff together without breaking it, including IKEA beds. I believe I actually, I believe I actually did mess up my son's bed.
So one of these nights, it's just going to be like one of the legs is just going to fold under.
You're going to hear a boom.
So on that Pi Top, now, does the keyboard look fairly modular that you would be able to pop that whole keyboard part out and slide a new one in this hole?
No. The whole top faceplate, there's 3 basic parts. Okay. There's the lid. The lid is the front and the back of the lid. And then the bottom is split to 2 parts, the bottom and the top. The bottom is the battery and the bulk of the case. And then the top is just the hole, the trackpad, and the keyboard. All that is very clearly one piece. There's no taking it apart. There's no taking it off. So I emailed them. They said, go here. You'll get a response in 24 hours. I emailed them. And about literally 24 hours later, I got an email with a link. I went there. I filled out my request for a new quote-unquote piece of hardware. Because of everything that's going on, I will be shocked. I will be shocked if I get it in a week. Because I already got my device. Everybody else I've seen has raved about how great everything is. I'm the only one I know that got something broke. So I don't take that as a representation of what they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably because you were bad-mouthing them because they hadn't sent it out and they were selling them somewhere else. They can hear
That's
you.
Very possible.
Even if you don't think they can hear you, they can hear you. So did you put the request in for Podnuts Green on the next one then instead of black?
No. That green is not Podnuts Green. That green is wow ugly. I mean, listen, I'm a guy who's not the most attractive fella, but there is no, I'm not. That green was even too much for me.
Oh, with a big black Podnuts sticker on the back of the lid, man.
Oh, I can still get a big
you can put a sticker on put the back nice green lid. Green Podnuts sticker on the back of that one.
Well, honestly, right now I'm using my Remix Ultra as my work quote unquote laptop because it has a great battery life. To be honest, there is no other reason I'm using it. Yes, I get people who say, hey, is that a Microsoft Surface? And I'm like, no, it's not a Microsoft. I would never give that company a dime of my money. What's wrong with you? Well, what is it? And I tell them what it is, knowing they're not going to know what the hell it is. My goal with this, to be honest, was to see if I could get this as a work laptop. All I need is something I can answer emails on, I can look at my meeting schedule on, and not have to walk around all day charging it.
Yeah.
Because I do have a 15-inch laptop, IBM Flex 15 touchscreen, really nice laptop, I believe. But the damn thing, the battery, I'm lucky if it lasts 2 hours.
Wow. And how old is it?
Less than 2 years old.
Huh.
And I think partially because with Windows, supposedly people were getting like 4 and 6 hours of life. With Linux, I'm not getting that.
Well, that's still horrible. If that's where it maxes out at, that's horrible. The Giant Remix, that was what? That's a 10-inch or 12-inch screen?
11 change. Okay. And this is a 13-inch screen, so it's definitely bigger.
Okay, I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking that was much smaller. Okay.
You know, real quick, because, you know, that's how I am. Yeah. I just installed Diet Pi on my C2 and launched it up. This is a beta. This is not a real release. This is a, you know, unstable release. First thing it did when...
During the show, just now, you burnt the...
Yeah, I did. But as soon as I booted up the first time, it basically did a test. I saw it. Well, I had to log in. It did a connection to the internet. It did an update, and it rebooted. I love that. It also did it with the Orange Pi, but I didn't see it. On this one, I saw it. And then as soon as I booted up the second time and log in, it says, will you be using a dedicated USB hard drive with this Diet Pi installation? ? Notice your decision now is final and cannot be changed at a later date. Wow.
They're asking for external storage?
They're asking if you're going to have it like permanently connected. And it says Diet Pi will automatically set up your future software installation to utilize the USB drive instead of micro SD.
Well, that's not bad.
As USB hard drives are generally faster than micro SD, using a USB drive can vastly improve system performance. This is recommended for BitTorrent, so you can store your downloads, own cloud, Kodi, storing of your media files, or Hi-Fi, which is a music streamer to store your music. Now, me being me, I know what they're doing. They're asking you, do you want to move your home folder to a USB hard drive? And if you say no, it isn't going to let you do it in the future. You can do it manually, of course, but this is at least a wizard way of doing it kind of thing all on its own. And let me tell you something, that alone is genius for these small devices. And I said no, and it says the Diet Pi software menu will now appear with the following options. Select Diet Pi optimized software, select additional software, Diet Pi config, or go start the normal install. This is not the same Diet Pi I installed even a month ago with the Orange Pi. And listening to the podcast, this guy is in constant revisioning of what Diet Pi is, why Diet Pi is, and how it's working. So if you haven't tried Diet Pi in the last month and a half, 2 months, I heavily encourage you to go try it again.
Well, I like that he has the optimized software so there's not a bunch of guesswork, and you can have, you know that it's going to kind of work out of the box for you. You're not going to be struggling too much and still be able to get some productive stuff done and have some fun.
Yep. And then the next step, it launches basically what's like a Debian called a task cell, TASKSEL, I believe. I don't think it's cell task. I think it's task cell, which is task select. In the Linux world, you can say, I want to install Thunderbird, or I want to install Firefox, or I want to install Chromium kind of thing. What task cell is, it groups things under single names. So you could have, for instance, LXDE desktop. When I check to install that, it's also going to install the basic text editor, the basic terminal, basic tools like that along with it. So that's what I'm getting next. And the choices are LXDE desktop, LXDE VNC server, Kodi, MiniDNA, Subsonic, Ampachi, SharePort Sync, never heard of that one, Transmission, Deluge, OwnCloud, Paido, which is a feature-rich backup and sync server. Interesting. Forums, WordPress, Image Gallery, Wi-Fi Hotspot, Tor Hotspot, Weave, Diet Pi Cloud Shell. I don't know what that is, but that sounds really cool. A whole bunch of stuff, and it keeps going fail to ban is genius. Web servers, Apache, Nginx, Lightpad, PHP MyAdmin, Let's Encrypt, my lord, Pi-hole. Pi-hole, he said, is his number one utilized thing. Pi-hole is there, real quick. You install it on your device. You then go to your router and say, don't use Comcast DNS. Don't use whatever DNS. Don't use the default DNS. Don't use Google DNS, but use my Pi as DNS. And that's all you got to do. You change one setting in your router, then your entire network has ad blocking to where anytime your browser goes through your router to request an ad network, the Pi puts it in a black hole and it just disappears. The request for the ad disappears. So that's using cool. So using any Pi device that supports Diet Pi, installing Pi-hole, you have basically eliminated a lot of ads on your network in one fell swoop. I like that idea. I like that idea.
That's great.
Yeah, this is definitely wow. These guys have definitely stepped up.
This is on the Odroid. You said you put it on just now.
Yeah, I'm putting on the Odroid, and it is the beta release. It's a non-stable release, but I don't care. You know, so I'm gonna just put on LXDE and the BNC server for now because I'm gonna use it more like a desktop. See if I can get it to work.
That's cool. Yeah, it sounds like a good install.
Yeah, this is, I gotta say, these, I love it when people really do, you know, really good work kind of thing. And these guys are definitely trying hard.
Doesn't it kind of remind you of back in like the shareware days, kind of, you know, when there's actually software at your fingertips that you've never heard of before, you know, where you used to get like a cassette tape or maybe a floppy disk or something, and it's just full of all these programs that some people made, and they do all these cool things. I don't know. It's been a while since I've been in this in the same kind of situation. It just reminds me of that.
Well, you know, I've got to figure out. Now, also, when you go to set up the boot menu, it asks you, because you can make it basically every time it boots to wait for a prompting. Do you want to boot to automatic login LXDE? RetroPie, Kodi, man, these guys.
You can just set it up just to boot straight to RetroPie.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
These guys have thought of a lot. I will give them that.
Well, hey, does the W, A, S, and Z buttons work on that laptop? Are those some of the ones that work?
I might have to check that out, Eric. Yeah, I think you know me a little bit too well there, Eric. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna put this down now. I gotta stop playing. We have a show to do, Eric.
No. We can just sit here and watch you.
No.
No. It's even funner. We can just sit here and listen to you install operating systems.
Okay. Now speaking of Odroid C2, I did post a couple links in our Google Plus group. I'm gonna tell everybody right now. There's little doubt in my mind for the next 8 months to 12 months. The Odroid C2 is going to be near the best choice you can make bang for the buck when it comes to these mini computers. One of the guys in the Podnuts IRC chat said, would it be good to run Kodi on? I have my Odroid C1 running Kodi, and it runs perfect. So I'm pretty sure, yes, it will run like ridiculously good. There is a link I put in the notes because this is another C2 thing, line 124. If you go to Hard Kernel's website and just look at operating systems, I only think they have two of them listed. Ubuntu Mate, which the browser now will not work. No matter how many times I reflash the SD card, as soon as I log in, apt-get, update, upgrade, dist upgrade, run browser, no browser will run, period. There's an unofficial Arch that you can run on it too. So if the Diet Pi thing don't go good for my browser needs, I don't even know if I can say it. I'm going to try to run Arch.
I don't know what that means. I don't get the reference. I thought you were going to say Windows 10. You're going to run Windows 10 on this.
No. Arch, I'll just say this. You know how Windows users feel about Mac users? Like they're pompous.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They feel a little bit hooty-tooty, hotty-totty kind of thing.
Yeah.
Linux users in general kind of don't like some Arch users because anytime anything comes up and someone says, well, what should I use as my... And the Arch people just start screaming how you should use Arch because the Arch is far superior.
Does it have rounded corners and wiggly windows?
No, that's the thing. And Arch, to install Arch is easy. But once you install Arch and then reboot it, you have nothing. You have to install everything you want, whether it's the desktop, wireless support, everything else above just a command line interface you have to install, and you have to configure a lot of it from scratch, which makes it, if you want to learn how a lot of the backend things work, it's great.
Now that's the opposite of Apple then.
No, but the people in Apple believe they're superior. They believe they're like from a better race of computers.
Yeah, but these guys sound like they earned a little bit of that.
Oh, no, you just gave them credit. I just felt a disturbance in the force.
If they had to start from a command line and work their way up to an operating system that actually works.
No, they didn't have to. They just had to copy-paste from a web browser. That's all they did.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, I can't compare that between Windows and... I mean, I can see the type of Apple person. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Apple people don't have to do a whole lot of work to get their stuff done. And honestly, depending on the work, the Apple is the right machine for the job. You know, if...
Excuse me?
If you're doing...
Who the hell are you?
if you're...
We got to end this show, man. I got to go puke in a bowl or something, man.
I don't know. There's like music and photography and video. There's three jobs.
No, that's all a misnomer now. All video applications first come out on Windows, period. There's almost no video editing being done on Mac anymore, but you know.
Yeah, but iMovie's really easy, and Windows Movie Maker sucks.
Everything on Windows sucks. I thought we were over this before.
Well, I'm just saying that
okay. You know, we sound like a husband and wife or something, Eric.
Good, take me out for dinner.
No. I was going to give a reason, but this is a family-friendly show, so I'm going to just not say anything. Really quick, Eric. We talked about the critter. I can't remember how it's called. Critter Twitter trap thing.
Yeah.
And I said how it made perfect sense to me about a trigger, a physical trigger, and Twitter and this microcomputer thing. It made a lot of sense. Well, line 122 in our notes goes to the 10 best Twitter bot projects for Raspberry Pi. Now, I'm sure you've heard of one of them, Eric, because one of those was about a month ago, a guy figuring out how to basically have his Raspberry Pi test his bandwidth, and when his bandwidth dropped below a certain number, it would tweet Comcast.
That's great. Yes.
And it would harass Comcast. And I got to say, golf clap, sir. That's you get nothing but respect.
Oh, and they deserve every tweet they would get from the army of small devices doing this out there. Just hoping.
Yes. Well, this is on Make Use Of. Make Use Of is not the best website in the universe kind of thing. But honestly, they have some nice stuff that I really do like on there. They are swamped with ads, but it's hard to have a site these days that isn't, unless, of course, you're like, I don't know, podnuts.com. There's an easy way to trap, tweet your RPi status. They have a tweet bot. Now where this could be handy, Eric, hypothetically, you're a big fan of Chicago Blackhawks or Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Or the Chattanooga Bisoneers.
Right.
You could have a thing constantly trolling Twitter looking for the Chattanooga Bisoneers, and every time someone mentions that, you automatically tweet it because you want the Chattanooga Bisoneers to get as much fame and glory as possible.
That could be kind of dangerous.
It could, but it also could be fun. So you can have a bot that basically, it's just a Python script that just monitors Twitter, looks for what you're looking for, and then just tweets it. The next one is the speed results one, which is really nothing more than just a Python script again.
Yeah,
you just run it, and it basically every whatever you say, 1 minute, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, will run a speed test, and anytime it's below a certain number that you say, it will tweet Comcast. I just think that's genius. This is something else I was thinking that could be good. I was upstairs. I have a three-story house, no basement. Bottom story is basically just washer, dryer, this studio, garage.
Okay.
Next floor up, tall ceilings, kitchen, and living room, and then upstairs bedrooms. I was upstairs with headphones on, listening to a podcast, folding clothes, and my dad was due to come over. And I said to myself, self, if I had these headphones on, I'm listening, and he rings the doorbell, I might not hear it. What I would love to have is a light flashing, or the option of having a visual cue when my doorbell rings again. And that's what I think of when I see this next one, which is flash a LED when you get a direct message or a tweet.
Yes.
I like the idea of having a really cheap one of these computers doing nothing more than giving you a visual indicator on a cue.
I think of a bat signal or or his phone, you know, kind of. Because I'm never on Twitter. So if my name were to be on Twitter, well, that with a retweet, never mind. Well, I guess I could do like a search of my name or something. I could get a bat signal. Hey, somebody's...
Right. Whatever. Well, yeah, and that was the thing. If it's nothing more than one of my lights flashing, or it should be very easy to also have it send a notification to your phone, because if I have my phone on listening to podcasts, that would be a perfect place for it. So that was something I was also thinking of, just having one Pi do that, literally just flash one of my lights. He, of course, can't be in the bedroom.
Probably your ambi lights behind your television.
I'm not doing that, Eric. I don't watch television. I don't do that.
But if those lights start lighting up for no reason, and you're like, oh, I must have just got a direct message.
I cannot mess with her TV viewing experience. I already know that. That's not happening. You know, that was something I also could do, and it could be really cheap. That's the whole thing. I got to start with these small, cheap projects. I got the $300 Pi Top laptop in. I got to finish getting that together and working right. I am going to do the Alexa Pi, but on my chip, because it's only $9. That's a given. That's what I am doing next. But then after that, I really like the idea of basically having a if-this-then-that type device, home automation device when someone rings the doorbell.
Yeah.
But I got to figure out how to tie into the friggin' doorbell without A, catching the house on fire, and B, not breaking it.
Breadboard, man. Just jump them
wires. Well, how the hell is that going to help me? Breadboard, man.
You cut them wires back there right behind it? Them in, wire right back out. Dude,
that's like me talking about starving kids in China, and you just saying, dude,
pizza.
All you need is see friggin' sharp, man. See sharp is the answer. One has nothing to do with the other, man.
Cut them wires, wire it in. You know, let's just steal a couple volts. You know, to make something happen.
Yeah, that's how I dumped it. But go take a look at this article in the notes. All the different types of things you can do with a Raspberry Pi in Twitter. What I want to find is 10 best if this then that Raspberry Pi projects, because I know that should be really easy, and I'm going to see if I can find an article on that. But this was good. Yeah. Definitely good.
I've got a fish tank, and there's one here that teaches you how to manage your fish. I've never really, you know, I am the manager. I've never tried to manage my fish.
Yeah. I don't know how you would manage fish, except for you feed them or you don't.
Well, you get some sensors. You check the temperature and the pH, I guess. Stuff like that, maybe.
Oh, the pH.
Oh, yeah, have it tweet out some photos.
So they're working on getting their PhD. That's what the pH is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here's another link I stumbled across. I put it in the Google Plus chat. It's line 125. And I was really confused, Eric, when I first saw this. What in the hell are they showing a phone for sitting on top of this thing? Okay, here's the reason why. It's a mini computer that's literally Intel NUC size, but built into the top of it is also a wireless Qi charger for all you Qi-loving fanatics out there who are, you know, because they're out there. But this is Elite Group Computer Systems ECS, which I believe is the same ECS that made motherboards for years.
I believe so.
So just because of that name recognition, this caught my eye. And honestly, I want to see this kind of company try to make it into the next generation of computers and make a change. This is a Windows 10 Intel Bay Trail processor. That is low end.
Dude. Okay. Keep reading those specs.
Okay. 2 gigs of RAM. Again, not great, fantastic, but 2 gigs of RAM and 32 gigs of storage.
Okay. I'm pretty sure any phone that's sitting on top of that PC would blow that PC out of the water. that's charging. All that is a charger with I don't know. I don't get it. That computer is so much less than the phone, and it costs a little bit less than the phone, I guess, too.
Well, I will say the RAM is upgradable. The hard drive should be upgradable. This literally looks nothing more than a rebranded NUC, which honestly shocks me. I thought ECS would do their own thing, but I don't know. But I mean, I like seeing competition. I like seeing more companies do it. I'm not sure if this is it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, because one of the biggest reasons you're going to get a little computer that small, which literally, I mean, it's smaller. They show a Galaxy S7 Edge sitting on top of the phone is longer than the PC. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of PC that you probably would have somewhere other than sitting right on your desk, unless you really like to look at it. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, it is white.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's supposed to mean something.
It's kind of glassy. It looks like an Apple product, I guess.
I guess.
You can set your Samsung on top of it.
Well, hopefully this is only the first of many things that ECS is going to come out with. I just hope they catch up more to what is, I don't want to say modern, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean,
competitive in today's stuff.
They might as well just put a Bluetooth speaker in the top of it that can talk to your phone, you know, instead of the charger. I don't know. You could have a cradle dock sticking off the back of it and a Bluetooth speaker. I don't know. I don't get it, man. But they could put them both, I guess, a Qi charger and a...
Okay, well, then let's try this one, Eric. Line 124. Okay. Solid Run. Solid Run is an Israel-based company. To be honest, that I kind of like. Not everyone does. They made the Cubox, Cubox, which was a little 2x2x2-inch computer, mm-hmm. which, for the time, was really good. It has not aged well, is what I'll put. I still use it as a mini desktop, and as long as I'm doing one Windows worth of stuff, it's okay. But once I start to load like a second app or a second tab in a browser, oh no. It does not want any of that. But here is a new piece of hardware coming out from Solid Run. It is a mini computer. It's a little bit misshapen from what I think of it as. It's a 2.1 inch by 1.6 inch board, which I think is just a little bit differently shaped. But it is a true system on a board that is running a Intel. Oh man, where did it say that? Intel Braswell, which I do believe is a newer processor, a better processor than like the last one that we talked about. But
you can get an Atom E8000 or a Pentium N3710 on it. Either one,
right? And that second one I do believe is competitive, very competitive to today's chips. But you will also be able to get it from between 1 and 8 gigs of RAM and onboard storage anywhere from 4 to 128 gigs. Okay, which tells me if you option for the 8 gig, 128 gig of storage, you are going to be paying a hell of a lot of money. I have to think that. Solid Run is definitely not, they're not trying to compete with stuff like Raspberry Pis. They're trying to be different. They're trying to be a higher class. They're trying to be something a little bit better. That's what I take it as. But you definitely are going to pay a little bit for their products. But I'm pretty happy with it. The one thing I really did like about it, it has dual Ethernet, dual NIC, which I gotta say, I keep dreaming of spending a little bit of money, sub $100 is always my goal, and to get that dual gigabit Ethernet device that I can tell people, if you want to control your entire network, here's a simple piece of hardware that you can buy that isn't expensive. You install pfSense on it or something, and you don't have to be a genius. You don't have to have college classes, and you can admin your entire network.
Yeah, it's promising. I still wonder, it almost seems impossible that those eMMCs can't make the difference in speed and storage for, you know, where they're offering them on this one.
Well, they can, I think. It's just not a given.
Okay. That, so if it's engineered correctly, it will be much faster than a USB hard drive attached to a...
I think it could, should be, especially if you have an Intel processor on the hardware.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of impressive. I don't know. It's a number that sounds impressive to me anyway. The support for 3840 by 2160 pixel output at 30 hertz. And that's like 2K. That sounds like that would be nice.
Yeah, the last paragraph in this over on Lilliputian is while the new Braswell powered product from SolidRun probably have enough power to use as a personal computer, they've positioned as a system for industrial, enterprise, or DIY applications, and probably won't be the cheapest options if all you want is a mini PC to stick next to your TV. So yeah, that's what I can then say this is as you want a prototype customizing a piece of hardware for a enterprise need kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, given the flexibility of dual NICs, got HDMI and DisplayPort, you'll be able to interface about anything that you're working with there. I mean, there's a lot of options there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then here's one in here, Eric, I didn't really completely get when I put the link in, and I never had any time to look at it again. Right now it's line 123 in our notes. I don't even know how to pronounce this thing.
Ooh. Whoa.
Wylodrin.
What? Wylodrin. Wylodrin. It's Wylodrin.
Mm-hmm.
Wylodrin. Yeah, Studio.
Studio, okay. This is a Chrome-based IDE software for hardware development in Internet of Things embedded Linux. Okay. So what this wants to do is to give you the ability to develop on the same boards that you are developing for. Okay, there is a certain simplicity to that. It's much easier to debug and test. I'll say that. And looking at this picture, Eric, do you remember the MIT app inventor Android?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
That's what I instantly think of when I see this. Mm-hmm. It's looks like a very plug and play, drag and drop interface to constructing the framework of the application. All of the actual code you still got to type.
It's kind of Visual Studio-ish, right? Is that kind of?
No, Visual Studio doesn't even do this. This is what a lot of people like
puzzle
consider.
Pieces.
Yeah, like kids learning program type of interface. And I'm sure there are many people out there who say, no serious developer would ever use this kind of thing. But I don't care about that. I care about simplicity and being easy enough for anyone to dip their toe in and learn. I honestly kind of like the idea it's Chrome-based. So if your device can run Chrome, you should be able to run this. It does say it can run, it can support visual programming, translates to Python, JavaScript, Python, and Shell script. Supported devices. Oh man, Udo Neo. We did talk about that one before. Raspberry Pi, R Arduino, BeagleBone Black, and Arduino Yun. Which I don't remember talking about that one.
So, do you think that you could take some code? So, say if you don't exactly know what code is doing, take some code, copy it into here, and it could present a visual representation of that code over there in the other window to kind of make you think it out a little better?
More than likely, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
More than likely, for you to get that visual part, you have to start inside
there.
Of here.
Yeah.
That's only a guess on my behalf, because to go back and deconstruct code to do the graphical representation
there was things that were always things, and then they lay only in certain places. I don't know. Just wishful thinking, I guess, for myself. Because I think like that would help me learn what some of this stuff is doing, actually.
Right. Well, I mean, ifs are always ifs. Loops are always loops. Cases are always cases. So they might be able to. The question is, do they? And that's something that really, you know, the only way to really do it is to try it. Yeah. I'd be interested if it does. I will say that.
Visual dashboard for displaying sensor data.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of sensor data, too.
Be good for managing a fish tank.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go for that. Okay. Sorry, just typing in my VNC password on my backpack station. I'm going to say, again, this is really interesting. These are the kind of things I bring to the show literally just to have it in my bookmarking system I call Notes for Podcast. So maybe one day my son, sooner than later, wants to learn some basic programming things and he has a Pi device available to him. This might be a really simple way for him to learn some basics.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think I was fully in last week when we talked about it, but Linux Fest Northwest is coming up, and I will get to join you guys out there this year. So I'm super excited about that. I've never been any farther west than Denver, so this is going to be nice. Get to see the West Coast with some...
You're super excited for that. I'm super excited because Cody Cooper said, since you're the new man on the totem pole, you got to pay more than anybody else.
And that's what another part I'm super excited for. It seems like we are kind of... I'm kind of getting out there on the cheap, and we're all pitching in for a van ride to and from. So that's working out really nice for me anyway. I was surprised at how cheap I can fly out to Portland, Oregon. It was a no brainer. I had to do it.
Yeah, your flight was less than $100 round trip.
Well, that was before I added a bag. Spirit Airlines. Oh. Yeah. So it was $120. It was still $120 round trip. Less than $70 each way. It's just unreal.
Yeah, and you for the room and the bus to go up, because we're renting a van, I want to say it's less than $150 total.
Yeah, parking is costing me the same as the flight, so just to leave my car sit there while I go.
Ah, gotcha. Very cool, very cool. Yeah, it should be a good time. I will say it's nothing but good people. The best thing about going up there is you get to hang with guys like Chuck, Aaron, Martin, Cody, Steve Sears, who's not going to be there this year.
Oh, that's just too bad. And Joe, I was chatting back and forth with Joe Hecht today, and he said he's not making it out there either. I was kind of hoping.
That sucks. Well, he was there next year. Hopefully he can make it again next year. It's beautiful up there, I got to say that. And that was one of the things that he told me to prepare myself for last year, was just how gorgeous the area was.
Yeah? It's not like rainy all the time or nothing like that?
I don't think it rained a single time when we were up there, or I was so inebriated I didn't even notice.
I don't know if there's water on my glasses or this is just glasses. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. And I had a great time at Ohio Linux Fest with you guys, so this should be a good experience. And even up in Chicago, and I couldn't remember if Martin was in Chicago, but I remember we've got a very good picture of Martin laying on the ground in front of a cooling fan. Remember, in a tent.
What?
It wasn't
in a cooling fan in front of a tent.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I think I blacked that out of my memory.
I was tried to, but then it came back. They do that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That should be fun. So anybody in the West Coast side, you want to do a little meetup, get a hold of us, and we'll be on the northwest side. So,
oh yeah, very good times, very good people. Very cool, Eric. Was there anything else you wanted to bring to this show?
No, the only link I had was that one Vocor computer that we've talked about a couple times. The price, they had a little sale going on at Stack Social for $39. I don't know if that's any cheaper than it's been before, really. This is the super, super little one that's just not much larger than... It's the Vocor Mini Linux computer, and it's just not much more larger than a Cat5 connection, the Ethernet jack.
Well, that's the thing. The computer, nothing more, is actually smaller. They have to make it bigger to have the NIC on there, because the actual computer is just the top board. And that's it. The bottom board and the NIC and the USB is like an add-on. And it is a good price. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's a really good price. But $39 versus $2 more and you get an Odroid C2, I'm probably going to go with the Odroid. If I had a use case for this thing where I needed something super tiny, I could see getting it, but I just don't have that need yet.
Right. No, that's about it.
Okay. And I'm happy to say, Odroid C2 running Diet Pi with LXDE desktop and everything up and running. The resolution, the screen resolution is a touch low. I don't really care, to be honest, but it is a touch low. I'm going to see if I can tweak that, see if it's possible. Because the real goal is to put the Odroid C2 inside of the Pi top.
Oh.
I do not want to put a Raspberry Pi in that thing. I want to put something as powerful as possible while I pop my peas.
All right.
Kind of thing. Because I want that thing to be as respectable as possible is the way I'll say it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Physically, the Odroid's not much different than the Pi to fit in there then.
No, very, very, very similar.
They're cool. All right, well, I think that's going to be it for tonight's show. Dor, did you have anything else you wanted to tell the folks or talk to them about before we sign off tonight?
I just want to thank everyone for their support. Thank everyone for downloading. Thank everyone who does mention this to other people.
Yeah.
Right now, the best thing you can do is tweet the existence of this show. If we talked about something and we were at all inaccurate, don't hesitate correcting us. If you hear another podcast that you think needs to learn something that we said correctly, maybe tell them about us. Right now, it's really important to get the word out and to get more downloads. This is a show where I think there is no reason why we shouldn't be able to get great download numbers. And we're just in the very beginning of that so far. So if you can help us out with that, that'd be great.
Very cool, Dor. Yeah, I agree. Spread the word, guys. All right, Dor, we will talk to everybody next week. Thanks for listening.